Hello, and welcome to Quick Charge. I'm Mikey G, and it's Monday, June 19th. Tesla has released a rare and interesting look at its latest supercharger monitoring system in a promotional video in which they say they have solved range anxiety. In the video, there are a few frames that reveal the monitoring system, and you can see the status of all supercharger stations in North America. It shows that Tesla has access to quite a granular detail level, helping the automaker maintain the level of reliability the supercharger network is known for. It's going to be particularly useful in the next few years, as Tesla is expected to onboard many new vehicles to the network as it increases its own production. On top of that, EVs from other automakers are going to use the supercharger network through the adoption of the NACS. A Tesla Cybertruck prototype was spotted arriving by plane in New Zealand, most likely for final winter testing. At Electrek, along with about 1.5 million reservation holders, we have been watching the Cybertruck closely to get an idea of when the first deliveries will happen and in what volume. Winter testing is one of several signs that the vehicle is on its way, as the company shipped the vehicle down to New Zealand, where it is currently in the winter. Tesla has already put the Cybertruck through winter testing in Alaska, where they have their own proving grounds. But now, Tesla is checking off the last few boxes, perhaps in a hurry. Tesla has added a discount to the new inventory of Model S and X vehicles and 3 years of free supercharging for deliveries by the end of the quarter. With the end of the quarter approaching, Tesla is looking to deliver as much as reasonably possible. After dropping the price of the new S and X significantly earlier this year, Tesla is now giving an extra discount of up to $8,000 off some of the trim levels. On top of that, Tesla is giving 3 years of supercharging for the buyers who take delivery by June 30th. This is the lowest the Model S has been in quite a long time, and with 3 years of charging, it's starting to look like a pretty good deal. Tesla announced that it produced 10 million 4680 battery cells at Gigafactory Texas. It's a good sign for the automaker's production ramp-up, which relies heavily on the new cell. This cell is critical to Tesla's longer-term success, as the automaker claims it has the potential to reduce battery costs by over 50% with this new design. Tesla has been trying to bring it to volume production for a few years, but it's run into some bottlenecks. But now, Tesla has revealed that Gigafactory Texas has recently produced its 10 millionth cell. To be clear, that's the total production to date and not current output, which is a number that will give profitability and production analysis a very fine perspective. U.S. auto safety regulators are investigating the Hyundai Ioniq 5 after 30 complaints were sent to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration over reports of power loss. The department says many of the consumers have reported, quote, a loud pop noise followed by a warning displayed in the dashboard and immediately experience a loss of motive power that ranges from a reduction to a complete loss of motive power. Now, Hyundai has since told the NHTSA investigators the power loss issue is related to the integrated control charging unit. This component powers the vehicle to load function, allowing the car owner to power external electronics and even charge another vehicle, all from the Ioniq 5 battery. The initial review suggests that when the control unit receives too much current, it can damage transistors, resulting in the inability to charge the 12-volt battery. The clock is ticking if you plan to buy the Chevy Bolt EV or EUV. General Motors is discontinuing the Bolt later this year, and the last day for getting your order is coming up. According to GM Authority, sources say that the last order cycle for the Bolt EV and EUV starts on Thursday, August 17th. Dealers will have a few weeks to submit their orders, as production is scheduled to end on November 7th of 23. General Motors will reportedly produce 70,000 units this year, which is quite a bit compared to around 44,000 last year. General Motors plans to phase out Bolt production in the Lake Orion plant in Michigan to make room for the upcoming Chevy Silverado pickup. Although the model's current generation is being discontinued, CEO Mary Barra has hinted that the Bolt EV will live on as an Ultium-based EV at some point in the future. Kia has begun deliveries of its flagship EV9 SUV as it looks to continue expanding its brand into the age of electrification. Kia says the EV9 offers true SUV capabilities with a 7.8-inch ground clearance, up to 82 cubic feet of cargo space, all-wheel drive, and up to 5,000 pounds of towing. Powered by two electric motors, the EV9 offers up to 379 horsepower, 516 pound-feet of torque, and the 99.8 kilowatt-hour battery could allow for up to 311 miles of range. Kia's new EV9 is expected to go on sale in the U.S. in the fourth quarter of this year and will be assembled in West Point, Georgia, which is actually the first EV from Kia to be built in the U.S. Now, despite the anticipation of its three-row SUV, the Kia EV9, Kia plans to downsize with smaller models, including an entry-level EV and an electric crossover. Earlier this year, Kia revealed its EV5 concept, which will sit between the Niro EV and the EV6. Kia says the production version will be launched later this year in China and will later be available in Europe. Meanwhile, Kia is looking to make an even smaller vehicle, something like the Jeep Avenger rival, that could be called the EV3. David Hilbert, the marketing director for Kia Europe, told Autocar that the B-segment market in Europe is quite the attractive apple. And Hyundai, the parent company, is already developing a successor to its current EGMP platform. That could house an even smaller EV model. Kia plans to build a small, mid-sized EV from 2025 at its Slovakia factory. Hilbert claims that the brand plans to offer hatches and sedans in the near future, claiming, quote, all the major segments will be covered in some form by 2027. In today's community comment found on YouTube, a lot of you chimed in on your experiences with touchscreens or physical buttons. Some of you like the simple environment that the lack of buttons can provide. Others prefer the instant completion of pressing a button that's right within reach. In my experience, I think that physical buttons still have a place and will for a long time, particularly for all the common and immediate things that need to be done. I think that hiding things in the touchscreen can also lighten up the dashboard, so even myself, I'm a little torn. One thing I don't like are the separated touchscreen buttons. They're not on the touchscreen, but they're like a separate touchscreen-esque button somewhere else. They also call them haptic feedback buttons, but sometimes they don't actually give that feedback. But they just exist on a smooth, flat plane, usually plastic. To me, pressing these buttons is quite distracting. Having to zone in with your finger on just the right spot, having to look and pay attention to it, and not having enough physical feedback to know where your finger is as you're trying to press it. When I'm driving in a situation that requires a lot of focus, it's stressful to me to think of where that doggone button is that I need to change, you know, turning on the radio or turning off the radio or the climate fan, things like that. When cars drive themselves, it'll all be figured out, but for now, I really prefer mechanical buttons for a lot of the basic features, at least the ones that existed before we got all the touchscreen stuff. Thanks for watching Quick Charge by Electrek. I'm Mikey G, and I hope you have a great day.